Welcome back, my friends, to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news, health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today, as always. And, of course, you guys follow Product of the Week. Went on sale today. Cortisol Buster.
Oh, great product.
Great product. Check it out. Incredible formula. Really, really good at breaking down and processing and reducing high levels of cortisol. Helps improve sleep, relaxation, enhance memory clarity, and a lot of fight stress-related fatigue. And with fight stress-related fatigue, let's think about that for a second. This is something a lot of people deal with now more and more, with conflict that's continuing to get worse. And I feel like back in the day, people handled stress and fatigue better. World and social media, computers. You know, I still remember back in the 90s when I grew up, you know, there wasn't this ability to just watch and see everything that was happening all the time at any point. There was not that level even of overstimulation yet. The internet was in its infancy. I remember we had a computer out here on the barn, I think, by the time I was like 11 or 12. And it was dial-up, Bobo, kick you off, about a snail pace if you wanted to try to pull and look something up. And it was pretty much useless. Nobody used it. And so everything was constant, in person, in contact, stimulation as far as with conversations, when you play, do stuff. Now the problem is adults and children alike have this massive overstimulation in the brain all the time, because no matter what, at the end of the day or in the middle of the day, somebody's not feeling as excited as they want to be and they want to get a dopamine trigger. They just go on their little TikTok or their Snapchat or whatever stupid social media platform they have, and they just scroll endlessly for about 30 minutes, get a flood of dopamine, and then suddenly they go back to their real world and everything's dull, and there's all this stress and cortisol that continues to build up and it's not handled appropriately. And so this is what's starting to happen more and more now, where so many people are stressed, overwhelmed. So this product really helps balance that. Also, too, if you actually have a stressful life with business, with work, and you're always going and going and going, this product helps keep you back in check with that cortisol.
I've got to say something, and this is really important.
I think you need to say something that's really important.
No,
I'm gonna hear it now.
No, this deals with stress.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something that it's going to be probably strange for you to hear me say this. You know, goals are really important in your life. They really are. But they can't be at such a level that you're willing to kill yourself to accomplish it. Now, you think, you always say, zwei Lebensstutzen brechen nie gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. That's right. There's two principles in life that can never be broken, prayer and work. I learned a long, long time ago, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I see people all the time. I remember years ago, you know, I was applying for a medical program, and they sent me this is back in college, and they sent me a letter that said I was not going to be accepted, though my grades were fine, because I was white.
It does happen.
No. This is back when affirmative action was really under the roll. And I couldn't believe that happened to me, because I had spent literally 6 years in college, took organic chemistry, which I absolutely hated, worst course I've ever had. You get some Chinese professor in front of the class, and you're like, what did he say? And everybody's looking at us like, all the students are like, I don't understand this guy. Or you got a guy, basically, he was at the other college I went to, and he had a stroke, and he's up on the wall. And I'm not picking on him, because I know people have strokes. And he's up on the wall. He's one hand's paralyzed. He goes, yeah, and because he can't speak. And I feel sorry for him, but he was our professor. And I'm like, okay, I got through all that, 18 hours of chemistry. And then they tell me, because I'm white, I can't do anything with it. And I thought myself, well, and ended up going back to school later. But the point was, it was so frustrating to me. And I'm going to say this to you again. And then I came down with that heart disease stuff when I was in my 20s. I was working 100-hour work weeks, because I figured my body's never failed me. I can do anything I want to do. I'm going to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Drink more coffee, 18 cups a day. Go, go, go. 1,000 miles a week driving. And finally, you know, I have this massive problem with my heart, and I'm in bed for 3 months. And I finally sat back and I looked at my life, and exactly what Austin just said. There's a point when the stress levels get too high. Well, I'm going to start working out, and I want to have 18-inch arms. Okay, and you start working out in the gym until you're about to die in the gym, literally. And you
huge amounts of caffeine.
No, and all of a sudden, you accomplish the goal. But how many of these bodybuilders die in their 20s and their 30s? I've seen it over and over and over again, because they start taking steroids and other things to enhance that. And the same thing is true. You know, the Bible says it's better to have two handfuls with peace and tranquility than three handfuls with strife and chasing after the wind. And I'm going to say that to you this morning. You know, a lot of you have too much stuff going on in your life. Now, a lot of you love our show because we don't do commercials. So you can get an hour's worth of update of all the world news in 1 hour without commercials. And you love it. And so Austin and I spend hours every day doing research. And so we come and bring you the latest world news and health research. And you guys think it's great. And I really am happy and blessed to provide that for you. But the reality is a lot of people spend their entire day scrolling on their phones, scrolling on their iPads, scrolling on their computers. And I'm talking also at work. They're breaking protocol at their jobs, and they're cheating their employers out of money. They're cheating their employers out of salary because they're too busy staying on their telephones. I see it over and over and over again, and I hear about it in your emails that you send me. And so the problem is this. Austin's right. If all you do is stay busy, 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 needlessly busy, and you're always drying, you got 50 different things going on, you don't accomplish much of nothing. You know, Jim Rohn said it this way. He goes, basically, you know, the outdoor, you know, the backyard fence is sagging. The screen door needs to be fixed. So there's all these things you've got to do all the time, which prevents you from accomplishing things that actually produce revenue for you and make money for you. And if you're in a situation where you've got your kids at 8 sports and you've got 4 kids and now you've got to go to 32 different things and you're going, 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 mother's all stressed out. She doesn't talk to her husband. She's too busy. The relationship starts to splinter and pull apart because they don't see each other anymore. There's no more intimacy. Is it really worth all that? I'm asking you, you know, what am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? If you get to the point where you're stressed out all the time and you don't know what to do with your life, you need to back it down a notch and say, no, I'm not going to do it. I know when I recovered from the heart disease, I had to have an evaluation for about a month. I laid there in my lazy boy recliner, you know, and I was going through the coffee withdrawal and all the rest. And I finally realized, I thought, what have I done? I've accomplished all of this stuff when I'm in my 20s, but I'm almost dead.
There you go.
What is that all about? What are you going to do? Who's going to take now whatever I've done and continue with it after I'm gone? Was it worth this? And I realized it was not. You know, I was in a really bad marriage. I don't talk about this very often. I ended up getting divorced because I wasn't going to allow that part of it to even stress me out even further. And I understand.
Which it can.
Which it can. Yeah, I'm telling you, I've seen it a lot. And I wasn't going to do it anymore. I'm not going to go into detail with you. It's just a bad marriage. Made a horrible mistake. You say, well, I can't believe you were divorced before you married Sharon. Well, get over it. I was. I mean, life goes on. When you can adjust your halo however you want to adjust it, you go ahead and knock it out because I'm not going to sit there and apologize for something that happened.
You know, you used to tell me something when I was younger. You said, you can make a bad decision. You make a really poor decision sometimes. What you can't do is you can't make continually poor decisions that are the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. When you make something big, you get pericarditis. Or you get a bad marriage, or you get a bad job, you got to take a step back and say, okay, what's it doing to me, and is that okay? And then you got to evaluate, do I want to keep doing it? Do I want to do the same thing over again? Do I want to continue down this road? And there's something that I've heard from a lot of people now, and this is starting to change because a lot of people are starting to see the light on this, is with jobs that are massively, massively undervaluing you and overworking you.
That happens all the time.
All the time now. And especially now with this AI model that's coming out, they're starting to put more jobs, or not more job, basically more job description on workers that are there under the reprisal of basically, if you don't do this, we're going to fire you now. For example, I had a good friend of mine, family, and he works for a defense contractor. Okay, and he finally, just now recently, switched positions with a whole other company now. And I was talking to him a while back ago when he wasn't sure if he wanted to change or not. And what happened was they were starting to terminate certain groups in the job, in the sector, and then they were taking all their workload and adding it on him. And then adding it on him. So by the time it got done, he's doing like 4 or 5 people's workload.
It's always salary, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was a salary to the point he was working between 10 to 12 hours every single day. Monday through Saturday, coming in on Saturday because he couldn't get the jobs done. He couldn't finish the contracts and fill them. And finally, he goes to me and goes, you guys, when I started here, I was doing my position. Now I'm doing 4 people's position. I'm making hardly any money more. They said, well, if you don't like it, you can just go somewhere else. And he goes, that's it. That's your response. Yeah, you don't like it? Go somewhere else. AI is going to take over most of these positions anyways in the future. Data analytics, all this different stuff. If you're in one of those positions, I'm giving you a heads up right now. Make sure you start looking at backup exit plans and other options for your life. This is a very serious market that's taking over an enormous portion of jobs in the country. And I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But it is here and it is happening. They look at absolute top-tier productivity and return on their investment.
Period.
They don't care about your life. They don't care about your kids you're feeding. They don't care about your family or your wife. They don't care about you going on vacation. They want optimal productivity and optimal profit. That is it. Zero concern for anybody else. And so I talked to him the other day, and he switched with a whole other company now in a different position, and he loves it. Doing great, way less work, not getting gray hair, feeling great again. Because he was like stressed out. He was like, oh, I can't get this done. And so if you have a job that's doing that to you, evaluate. I remember when I was in college, I worked for a company called IUPA Telemarketers.
Nightmare company.
Boiler room, 8 hours every single shift. Go in there, and all you're doing is cold calls, trying to get money donations for the Florida State Trooper Foundation.
Which is ironic for you that you did that.
Very ironic for me. And
those ones give you the police. They're the ones who write you the tickets.
Yes, yeah, so people donate money on the phone to us. And we send these badge decals. I support my local Florida State Trooper. So a lot of people like to do it, and they donate $20, $30 on the phone. But the problem is they record every call. So when your phone went down, your phone went up. Your phone went down, your phone went up. You got a 15-minute break every like 4 hours. And it was a boiler room. And I remember I'd worked that for like 3 or 4 months. And they started off, I mean, it was like 2005. I was like 18. And, I mean, they start you off at like $13, $14 an hour, which back then, you're in college, that's a lot of money to you. And you go work a couple shifts a week. And I finally, about 3 months, I was like, this is horrible. Like, you get off work at like 1 in the morning, 12 o'clock.
People cussing at you all day.
Hands shaking, just cortisol burnout, doing an 8-hour shift, getting cussed at. And everybody there starting to do drugs. And you're like, I don't want to be involved in this crap. Finally, I quit. Sure enough, sometime later, the whole place ended up getting raided by the FBI for money laundering and a bunch of stuff. Well, I was like, I am so glad I had nothing to do with that crap.
Let me tell you another. But again, let me tell you another story. About a couple of years ago, I met this girl online, real nice lady, and the problem was she worked for the Little Hat Company.
Oh yeah.
And they were acquiring mobile home parks. Now, mobile homes out here in Florida have basically VIN numbers on them. They're like a vehicle. They can be transported. They have wheels on them. And the problem is some of these old trailers that she was basically having to collate and sort were 30, 40, 50 years old before the internet and before computer systems. And so they had to find the titles, and they had to go on these frames and they had to pull the numbers off. And she had to hand sort and collate almost 2,000 of these things.
Oh, what a mess.
No, and they were paying her, you know, $40,000 a year. And they told her, the Little Hat guy said, we expect loyalty. So when you do this at home, we have your computer turned on, we monitor you 24/7.
Yeah.
Your camera's on the whole time. So we're making sure you're going to put your time in. And she goes, well, you're asking me to do this within 30 days. I can't do it that fast. There's too much. And they said, we don't care. It's salary position. Do what you have to do.
Yeah.
So she she started working 7 days a week, 14 to 16 hours a day, because they told her they were going to give her a big bonus at the end of the year.
That's what they always do. If there's a little carrot, they go, well, listen, if you do this and you show us your loyalty, you know, you show us your loyalty to us, we're going to make sure we take care of you at the end of this contract. We're going to make sure we pay you really well.
No, and they're master manipulators.
They never do.
She never got the bonus.
No, because what they'll do is they'll find a clause. Well, this wasn't done exactly on this date, and so we're sorry, you know, the bonus is.
Well, so she was making, $20, $25 an hour, whatever she was doing. And, you know, by the time
salary, though.
No, by salary. Yeah. Now, when you figure it out by the total, she's ended up making about $5 an hour.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, I can never go out with you. You're always busy, and I don't know what to do. And finally, I just told her, I'm not going to see you anymore. I said, I'm not doing this, because she was so obsessed with being a team member. They had programmed her so well that she was a team member. I've got another friend of mine. He was married to this attorney. Same thing. She was on salary. She wanted to make partner, and they would give her 200 cases at a time. Okay, and she was working 100-hour work weeks. Marriage ended up going in the toilet. I mean, it was a disaster. And, you know, they ended up getting divorced. And now let me just go back, because a lot of you are still scratching your head about me saying about getting divorced. Here's the thing. If you're married to somebody, I'm going to say something very clearly. I don't believe in divorce at all, period. Okay? You need to think through this stuff before you get married, and you need to think through about what you're doing as far as the relationship that you have with this individual and the commitment you're making before God, period. That's number one and number two. But here's number three. If you get married to somebody and you find out that you made a horrible mistake and they're committing adultery on you, or they're running around on you, or they're going out to bars and getting drunk, or they're running out to strip clubs, or they're doing all these crazy things, and it's completely diametrically opposed to what you thought they were, and they're refusing to go to counseling, and the marriage is awful, and all you're doing is screaming and yelling and cussing at each other all the time, there's a point you got to say, wait a minute. You know, which is worse? You know, sin is sin. If I divorce this individual because they're not who I thought they were, at this point, it's just a sin that I repent for. You think, well, that's a terrible way of looking at it. No, I'm being honest with you. That's why about 60 to 70% of the people in America get divorced now. Because what happens is the social media has really contributed to this.
There you go.
Because, you know, you go on Facebook and people will troll. They'll put pictures of themselves in a bikini from 15 years ago when they're 40 pounds lighter. Say, look at me, how great I look. Now, if a wife is putting pictures of herself on the internet in a bikini, there's only one reason she's doing that. She's looking for somebody else, period. That's it. Nobody does that.
Especially when the guy is not even in the photo. That's the one that I always get a kick out of. I mean, I had a buddy happen a while back ago. He was getting irritated because his girlfriend, she's always posting his photos on Instagram. He's never near the photos. He'd go to the beach with her, and I kind of started giving him a hard time about it. He'd go to the beach with her, take her out on this weekend, and she takes photos of him and her. The only photos get posted of her every time. And I told him, I said, you do understand it's – I'm not going to say that.
Well,
essentially, you need to be – if you're in a relationship and you realize that the girl or the guy is just basically using you as the next step up to get to somewhere else, you need to step out of that relationship.
Well, yeah, I talked to this girl here a while back, and her – and she broke up with her boyfriend because he insisted that she take delete bikini photos that she had taken with another guy. Well, let me explain something to you. He shouldn't have had to ask her to take the photos off with the other guy.
That's a fact.
You look at me like, well, you don't have a right to tell me that. Okay, do what you think you need to do. I'm just telling you.
You don't have a right to date me then either.
Yeah, I mean
if it's going to be mutually balanced, there has to be a level of respect.
Well, if I'm married, all right, which I'm not, and, you know, and I've got pictures of me and my old girlfriends posted all over line, and I'm married. Why would I do that? Number one, the wife's going to go insane. She's going to be unbelievably mad. That's going to cause conflict at home. And number two, the wife's right. Just like she doesn't need pictures of her and other guys on the log online. And so be really careful in how you treat people. And the problem is, once enough water goes over the dam in a relationship, and the new term is the ick. Now, I'm not talking about being married now. I'm just talking about dating somebody. Once you get the ick, I never heard that before until a few years ago, it's over. There's no fixing it. There's enough water over the dam that there's not enough trust that's going to be built. Remember, trust and respect, they take time and they work together. You don't trust anybody. You don't respect anybody until you spend time with them. And the little bitty white lies, they destroy trust, and that destroys respect. And without trust and respect, you don't have love. And so if you're with somebody who you don't have any trust and you have no respect for, you're not going to love them. You're going to get the ick. You're going to go, yeah. Ugh, I'm done. And you shouldn't force your partner to get the ick on you. You know, and ladies, I'm going to say something to you. This is important. Don't go to bed at night, you know, with oils and ointments and plaster cans and just masks on your face so your husband has to look at it.
I had no idea you're about to go there with that.
No, you're not wrong.
You guys
are all laughing. You know, put that stuff on when he's at work. Don't make him look at that.
Or earlier in the night, if you're doing a facial scare routine, you do it in the middle of the night, or do it in the evening, basically when you're going to be done with it and take it off, or whatever you're finished for the night. But you're not wrong on that. You don't want to be in a situation where you walk over, you want to, you know, kiss your wife goodnight or your girlfriend goodnight, and all of a sudden you can't touch me. I'm covered in this for the next 12 hours.
Well, no, and then
let's get a rub off the pillow anyway.
If the husband has to scream when he sees you because he's terrified, that's a problem. I mean,
what movie was that? There's a movie.
I know.
He was the girl's covered like this mask with zucchini.
Green,
on her
oh,
eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, wakes up.
You know, and so don't be doing stuff like that. Just do your skincare
stuff.
Take care
of yourself. Yeah. A lot of that stuff's completely unnecessary. Oh, you know, I'll tell you right now, you want better skin, run the collagen every single day. And I'm not just segueing that. I'm being serious. That's something that does more.
And the vitamin C.
This and the vitamin C orally do more than have vast majority of skincare routines, because remember, vitamin C has a very difficult time absorbing through the skin. It's only got about a 10% efficacy rate through skin absorption, and about a 90% through oral absorption as far as when it goes to the skin. Everything with the skin is built on a foundation up. Obviously, it doesn't mean you shouldn't still take care of yourself, do moisturizers or lotions or whatever other stuff you guys do, and there are other options like microneedling and certain things like that. But collagen and vitamin C, that's your core base. And you don't have to do anything about it when you go to bed. You just drink it. You go to sleep. With total rest. I like total rest.
You know, I mean, and the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you this again, and just do what you want to do with it. Every morning, for all those years I was married, for 38 years, my wife would get up and put makeup on. Every morning, first thing in the morning. Finally, I asked her after about 30 years, I said, Sharon, why do you put makeup on? We're not going anywhere. And she goes, oh, no, no, Ted, I do this for my boyfriend. And I said, what? And she goes, well, Ted, you're my boyfriend. And I want to look as good as I can for you every single day. And I thought to myself, wow. A lot of women, they won't put makeup on until they go on a date. But then when they go out with their friends, they're all made up for they go out with their friends. And you're like, why can't you put
there
on makeup
for
me? You know, and so it's always weird to me when that happens. And so just, you know, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you want to, if you don't want to, doesn't matter. I was married for 38 years. I got a few points I can give you. Take care of each other. Treat each other with respect.
That was an issue with my buddy in Tampa. He was running into that. Is he, every time, you know, he'd like want to go out with his girlfriend, it was kind of like, she's kind of like, you know, whatever. Then suddenly she'd go out with her friends, and she's like,
made up,
dolled up to the T, taking photos all night with her girlfriends. And he's like, I took you out to dinner the other night, and you were like, kind of not like she's bad looking, or, but it was just kind of like, ho hum.
The word scruffy.
Yeah.
She looks scruffy.
But then she goes out with her girlfriends to go grab drinks, and they're like dolled up to the till, look like they're going to a gala. And he's like, what's going on here? He broke up with her a while back.
Remember, women dress up for other women more than they dress up for their husbands. Just thought I'd mention that because they want to compete with each other. I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's true.
Get some emails on that.
That's all right. That's good. I get emails on everything. Any I've done. At this point, what difference does it make? I'm so far behind answering emails now. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, you start to realize that, you know, if you don't take care of your spouse, they're not going to take care of you. And pretty soon you become roommates. And that goes really bad. And once you go to the roommate status,
it's hard to go back.
Now, if you start doing what you did in the very beginning to fall in love with that woman, fall in love with that man, do the same thing over, the dating, the holding the hands, the intimacy and all that when you're married. If you just start doing that over again, you can build that love back. But you got to really work on a marriage. If you don't work on a marriage, I promise you one thing, it will go away.
I got to clutch up and grab second gear. We got to change gears on this. This is something I want to cover because you're 100% right about what we talked about yesterday. Remember how we brought up the discussion of Donald Trump executive order?
I told you what happened.
The vaccine thing. Well, this is already the first chink in this whole thing that happened. Part of that executive order was calling for separating measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, the three single disease vaccination that's administered, the MMR. Well, now what's happened is now the medical freedom advocates spoke with the defender, and they're discussing the basically direction that doctors and scientists are going. And they're saying, well, we're going to be able to start making, you know, three individual shots, measles, mumps, rubella, all individuals on it. But it's going to take us many, many, many years before we can get that finalized and done. Well, you've already got the MMR shot. You've already got measles, mumps, rubella. All you have to do is basically single them out. Now, it may be sounding a little bit more simplistic than it is, but you simply just have to revile three different vaccines instead of in one vial, it's in three. You've got to separate them chemically. It's not rocket science. Why is it going to take many, 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 I quote, many, many years before we can get this done? The executive order stated the combined MMR vaccine should be administered in three separate parts, single disease shots, what such products are domestically available. However, now they're saying that the experts are saying, well, the pediatricians and parents are going to have to decide for themselves if they want that, and we have to see if the demand's there as well. Wait a minute. I thought it's for the safety and best interest. We're going to split it up and offer them, period. Well, it's going to be many, many years before we can make that offer. No, it's going to happen is exactly what he said yesterday. Once you get basically RFK Jr. out of there, once Trump goes out, you're going to end up having, more than likely, a little hat president that they're going to put back in. It's the same what it is. And they're going to come in and say, oh, by the way, I'm rescinding the executive order. Look at this on the screen here. It goes to say, it says, essentially, Trump charged the U.S. Department of Health and Services to task safer childhood vaccines, including making an MMR shot, all separated. They said, Wakefield said, I came to the same conclusion that such studies are inadequate for the safety of the MMR vaccine, and it needs to be separated. However, though, the pharmaceutical companies are saying that it's going to take a very long time, many years. They went on to say here, where's it pulled? I had it pulled up earlier. They said Merck and GSK have not responded, but they said developing separate shots for measles, mumps, and rubella is going to take many years of research and development to do. It's in the bottom here.
Told you.
They already have measles, mumps, rubella. It's a try shot.
They don't want to do it.
That's exactly, they don't want to do it.
The little hat people have decided it's going to cost too much money to do that, and they can maximize their profits by including them in one. Well, and they don't care about how many autistic kids they get.
And here's what's going to happen, too, the reason I want to do it. Most parents are going to do this. They're going to say, rubella, months. Okay, maybe if I decide when my child's 5 or 6 years old, I might give them a single dose measles vial if I feel like it's necessary. That means profitability for that shot's going to go through the floor. That also means, and I'm just saying this from a side note, may sound sinister, but you're going to have a reduction in autism and a reduction in side effects rates if people just start going with single shots on this on as-is basis and not a three-shot mandatory at 18 months.
Well, the biggest problem is that autism makes that individual, if they had really bad autism, a willing vessel for demons and everything else to inhabit. No, I want to stop for one second. Let me go into that. They don't want to cure autism. They don't want to cure cancer. Autism is an industry.
That is, I was just about to say, autism is just like cancer is an industry.
I mean, you think about it for a second, how much medical money is spent on autistic children and how many tens of thousands of dollars a year an autistic child costs. And what are you going to do with millions of autistic children when their parents die? And how many of these kids are basically zombies because of what they've done to their brains? And how easy is it for a demon to come into that child and basically invade that person? You really believe that can happen? Well, yeah, I can't prove it, but I've got one kid that Van takes care of, and he speaks in all these strange voices all the time. And then one day I told him, I'm driving the car, and he's in the front seat with me, right? And I said, I don't want to hear that junk in my car. He straight throws a punch at me.
Yeah.
It happened to me. I mean, I saw the punch coming. I blocked it, and I thought, what the heck? I took him back and said, get out. I'm not riding around with you. You're going to cause an accident. There's something about these autistic children they want. And remember, it feeds the medical industrial complex. They don't want to cure cancer. They don't want to cure autism. They don't want to cure diabetes. They don't want to cure anything because the treatment protocols are much more profitable. Because these little hat people, they're so consumed with greed. They don't. If you think they care about you, they think you're a cow. They call you a goyim, cattle. They don't. They're not going to eat the food they feed you. They're not going to take the shots they give you. They're not going to do any of that stuff. Over there in the little hat country, they don't even allow immigration over there. But yet they're the ones who primarily facilitated through the Darien Gap millions of people to come into the United States and basically destroy our own culture and destroy our own demographics here. You think, well, they wouldn't do that. They did that. And the sad part about it is that they're so careful on who they bring into their country. They don't want people in there that don't have their faith or their religion. They don't want that at all. They stop it. They're complete racists. You think, I can't believe you say that. Oh, well, okay, well, how about that? We're going to do this. How about right now in Europe, in the Middle East now, in Gaza, there's one final city that's a Christian town that they're encircling now to seize.
Of course they are.
Israeli army surrounds the last Christian town in the West Bank.
Of course.
And you Christians go, well, they wouldn't do that. I don't understand why you can't see it. It's mind-boggling to me, but it's just it's crazy how they do it. And now Russia is saying that they have a right, basically, to attack any ship coming into the Ukraine that's carrying military cargo. This is exactly what happened with the Lusitania. Austin and I were there, off the coast of Scotland, where the Lusitania was basically sunk. We were there. It wasn't Scotland. It was Ireland, I think. It was right off of the ocean, and the cliff was a 1,000-foot drop-off, and we walked and looked over the edge. It was crazy how far down it was. And I remember we went to the cemetery where the survivor, where the people that died on Lusitania were buried. And that is one of the primary reasons that started the United States in the World War I was the sinking of Lusitania. And Germany posted a big thing in the New York Times. They said, look, you guys are carrying armament over to England for World War I and to France. And basically, we have the right to basically torpedo any ship carrying munitions. And they shot sunk the Lusitania. And the captain, this is interesting if you don't know this, the captain slowed down about 3 or 4 knots. He was crawling that ship right through a submarine-infested area with German submarines. And the captain couldn't even believe it, a submarine. He's a huge ocean liner. He launches one torpedo, hits the doggone room where all this munitions is. The whole thing blows up and sinks within a matter of minutes, and all these people die because it was carrying all this munitions. One of the precipitating factors of World War I. You guys forget that happened. We were there. We saw the place where it happened. The crazy part about all of this stuff is that if Russia starts torpedoing or blowing up ships that are carrying supplies to Ukraine, is it going to precipitate World War III? This thing's a mess over there, by the way, and it's turning into a bigger mess. And the sad part about it is because we can sit here and play golf or watch TV or scroll the internet or do a podcast and just chill out and go see a movie, we don't think much about what's going on over there. Those people are in a real mess right now in Ukraine, and now that's spilling into the Middle East. And all those places are pretty close together over there, and it's turning into a giant regional conflict. And if we're not careful, we're going to get dragged into a mess, which we already have with what we did with Iran. And we got to just pray that this stuff just goes away.
Well, that may have been the purpose of it, man. I mean, this whole thing with Iran's continually being escalated on purpose. I mean, that's obvious.
Well, John,
I mean, it's almost an ongoing joke now how much propaganda manipulation theater they're running with it. Or the Hormuz is open. Hormuz is closed. It's open. It's closed. Not sure what we're going to do today, but it might be open. It might be closed.
We don't report on it anymore.
No, that's why I stopped covering it. The same thing with the wars. We've won the war. The war's not over. The war's over. Won over. Truce, you know, it's nauseating because you understand what it is.
And Iran said, we're just going to wait until Trump's out of office.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The vaccine manufacturers are going to do. They're going to wait until Trump's out of office. You know, and so they're going to wait until Kennedy's out of office. And then nobody will be there to stand in the gap any longer. And all of this stuff is just theater for all of us peasants, which is what they think you are, a goyim, just a cow. And they run the planet, and they have their mega yachts, and they own their islands. And they have their escape places in Argentina and all the rest. And they don't care what they do to the planet.
Good news. It's a positive story.
Good story.
Okay. You know the big, beautiful bill that was kind of a nightmare of a bill. But there was actually something in it. This isn't an executive order. So Congress passed this, which removed the tax stamps off suppressors and short-barreled rifles. We talked about that. Well, then what happened was they still said, well, if you buy a suppressor short-barreled rifle, you still have to do the federal registration, the fingerprints, but you don't have to pay a tax stamp. Well, this massive lawsuit ensued. I've covered it over the last couple months because you can't call a registry on something that you're paying zero taxes on because there's no registration because there is no tax. It's illegal. Well, Gunners of America, that was upheld in court now. The injunction was set forth as saying there is no federal registration on suppressors or short-barreled rifles. Last night was the first time since 1934 a suppressor sale was done with zero federal transfer. This is an enormous deal because this is the first time in 92 years now we've sold a suppressor legally in the United States with no federal registration check on it or registry or fingerprints or even the BS that they did on it. This also is going to be applied to short-barreled rifles, which is one of the stupidest things that was ever added onto the list because it's like, well, if your barrel's 16 inches on your AR, you're fine. If you chop it to 15, suddenly now it's a federally illegal firearm. You do 10 years in prison.
You know, the thing that's so stupid about that is it loses accuracy on top of everything
correct.
Else.
Correct. The more you chop your barrel on a rifle caliber, the less accuracy, the less distance, the less muzzle velocity.
It's because they don't want you hiding it in your top coat?
That was the big thing in 1934. So that's what they claimed because the gangsters were taking tops and submachine guns and BARs. They were actually chopping barrels down on BARs for CQB. Which that was wild, by the way, if you ever watched a documentary or something. The BAR was a Browning automatic rifle. It was a box-fed magazine, fully automatic, portable machine gun that shot a .30-06. So
that's a serious weapon.
Serious weapon. You can watch the movie John Dillinger, Public Enemies. There's great scenes of shootouts with that gun. That's a mean gun. So they were actually taking BARs and chopping them down to like 10-inch barrels. Well, the accuracy wasn't there, but you still got a doggone 10-inch barrel .30-06 machine gun.
How many rounds was the box?
25 rounds. I mean, it was nasty guns. They did the same thing with Thompsons. They were chopping Thompsons down. So the federal government came and said, we've got to regulate it. Because back then, it was a simpler time in America. You could go to the store. You could go into your local store downtown.
Sears Roebuck.
Yeah. So you could go to the magazine.
Order Thompson machine gun.
Thompson machine gun right there. I think they were $199, mm-hmm. Which a lot of money back then. But you just go in the store. Hey, I need a Thompson. I need a BAR. Okay, cool. That's why the tax stamp was around $200. It was $200. Most of the automatic machine guns back then were roughly around $200. And it was a tax stamp to pay for, I guess you could say, the nuisance of people running around with machine guns back then. What a time to be alive. And so that's how it started. Well, then what happened was at the end of that, right? They added it at the end of the NFA bill 1934. They said, we're going to do suppressors on there too. Because we want to make sure the guys can't cut down their barrels, throw a suppressor on a machine gun.
That's actually a great idea, but it's still very noisy.
Well, yeah, on top of that, though, back then, the suppressors were really janky. You look back at suppressors in the early 1900s, it was like they just take like an oil can. Half the time you get a baffle strike, the suppressor would blow up on you.
I've got a friend of mine, he's got a Barrett, and he bought the suppressor for it. And it does. It quiets it right down. It sounds like a .30-06 instead of a .50.
Well, they have a new one now.
It's unbelievably loud.
It's a bigger one now.
Oh, that thing's like that long to start with.
No, it's like this long. But I watched a video on the other day. One of the only things you hear is the bolt.
What? on a 50?
50 PMG, yeah.
What does it do to the muzzle velocity?
Oh, you're going to get a lot of drop on it, but it's still a 50. I mean, foot-pounds of energy is like 10,000 out the barrel on it. I mean, I don't know where it goes down, but it's still a 50.
So it's still going to be good to 1,000 yeah. hours no matter
so
what.
So I wanted to cover this, guys. This actually was a huge win because this was not an executive order. This congressional law that went back into place now, and now these things. So allegedly, the problem is ATF has no rebuttal on it. Once it went in a $0 tax stamp, that's it. So you want to buy your suppressors now, you want to buy your short-barreled rifles, have fun with it. Some suppressors are really good now. You know, I was at the range yesterday, and had a guy in there. He had a 22 with a can on it, on a rifle, and thing was like, you didn't hear it. All you heard was the brass on the floor. So great for hunting small game, especially if you don't want to wear hearing protection. It really cuts down a concussion blast at all. So,
oh, by the way, extinct human remains found on seafloor.
How did you segue into that? I have such a positive role right
this
there.
This is great. This talks about God.
Oh, okay.
The remains of an extinct human is discovered on the seafloor, and it goes into the theories of Bibles and giants. And it's a huge thing that looks like a giant human being on the bottom of the ocean. And it goes into detail of what we talk about as far as in Angel Wars. And that's my segment into that. And so, you know, it's just, again, this goes back to the pre-Adamic race and what we saw there. What happened there, the first flood there that I cover in Angel Wars. And here's another article. I'm a Harvard physicist, and I believed in evolution my whole life until I found God, and I uncovered something science still can't explain. And I'm going to go ahead and let you read that one yourself and understand that we have things that we have talked about many times that are very, very important, like Angel Wars. Now, yesterday we were talking also about a guy who basically went in and has his cell phone seized. And I want to cover that a little bit more because they're saying now that this guy has taken this thing to court and we're going to basically, he's basically saying that he's going to have a situation where they're going to change what they're doing with ATF as far as seizing stuff. And, you know, the thing about this is, you think about this, you go to a security line at ATF and suddenly they say to you, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and open your telephone and look at it. Where in the world did they come up with that, and why do they think that's okay? And this guy had it set up so that once you tried to open it with the wrong password, which they did, it erased everything instantly. Well, that really made everybody mad.
Yeah, did it?
Oh, yeah, that's why they arrested him on the spot, hauled him off to jail.
Yeah, but there's no way that's going to hold up in court.
Well, no, and that's why he's in there right now fighting this with the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And they're saying, hey, look, you know, you can't be doing stuff like this. You can't be doing this with TSA. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, I've been groped before at TSA. I remember one time it was so bad in St. Louis that I basically filed an assault charge on the guy.
I remember that. He did, too. He did.
My wife was standing there watching me, and the guy grabbed my private parts twice. And finally, I backed off and said, dude, you need to stop that crap. And he looked at me and said, what? I said, you heard me.
Especially like the back of their hand. I've gotten groped a couple times because I won't do the x-ray scanner.
No.
I'm not going to do it.
If I had to do it over again, I would have called the sheriff's department. It was that bad.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I've been back to that same airport many times since then, and I've never seen him again. And then, of course, I got my TSA pre-check done after that happened to me. Again, it expired.
TSA pre-check's nice.
And, you know, so it's one of those things that you sit back and you watch it, and you go, this is not okay. I don't like this at all. And yet, here we are being subjected to that nasty stuff that they do to us. And Sharon said to me, she goes, man, I thought you were going to hit him. I said, yeah, I almost did. I said, the only reason I didn't knock his out is because I didn't want to get on the doggone no-fly list.
Well, the problem is, the issue is, TSA knows this. This is why some of them act so horrifically. They're federal agents. So if you hit one because they grope you, but they're in their lines of duty, you now have battery on a federal agent, which is a felony. Then that's fun to deal with in court, especially when it's on camera. And so,
well, I had him pull the video up. Yeah. I had him pull the video up, and he goes,
well, you know it's on camera.
Oh, and the gate, they found him innocent. They said, well, we're going to have to retrain him, but we don't find anything wrong with what he did.
Well, they never do.
No.
They never do. Feds always cover feds. We could do internal affairs investigation.
But let me read you this, though. Not only did he refuse to, but he had an app on his phone that triggered its erasure once you keyed in a particular code to open it. So apparently he gave him the code that erased
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That was a code he gave the customs officer when they demanded his code to be open, and his phone was indeed erased right there on the spot in the hands of the CBA agent. They got really pissed off. It says that. He says, according to the reporting on the case, the man was not a criminal. He was not under suspicion or surveillance for anything. He was not related to these other people that may have been. He was, in point, in fact, basically an environmentalist, but again, without any contact with prior agents of law enforcement that we know of. He was just a guy coming home from an international trip. You may well be thinking, a left-wing activist with an erasure code sounds suspicious. But wait a minute, a right-winger I know just traveled internationally recently. She traveled with a burner phone to avoid exactly this kind of search in another country. It was England. Remember I talked about burner phones yesterday? In England, there is no Fourth Amendment. They can search your phone when you hand it to them, when you land. They also had no First Amendment. They have terrible censorship laws now. You can be arrested in jail for social media posts in England. Even some perfectly benign ones like Islam is incompatible with liberty, or something like that, you get arrested. The Dominican Republic has no Fourth Amendment, and if they simply suspected you have contraband or are engaged in some other legal activity, they have a right to inspect your phone and open it. In short, I don't find it suspicious at all knowing the legal overreach climate that we're living in now to have a burner phone when you go through TSA. And, you know, that's not a bad idea. I've never thought about that. You know, here's my $50 Walmart phone, my $50 a month subscription. Here, have fun with
you
it.
You got the phone numbers in it that you need, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's not, actually not a bad idea.
No, I never thought about that.
Well, you got to understand, too.
Leave your real phone at home.
Well, this is why so many people now are starting to do things like, you know, and I don't advocate this at all. I've never advocated this. But they're talking about using, you know, the clear
you said this the other day.
Rust-Oleum on their tags. Again, I'm not advocating
Don't do that.
I'm not doing that.
But
I'm saying is it's interesting because people are figuring out ways to push back against this crazy system because it's getting out of control.
Flock cameras.
There's a video I'm about to play for you guys right now. And this is a man, 38 years old, with his girlfriend and their 1.5-month-old baby. Okay? Doing nothing wrong. Breaks no laws. Well, Flock deems it so that the vehicle is stolen.
AI, baby.
Cops initiate a traffic stop. Pull the guns on him. Drag the parents out of the car.
Lucky to do a pit maneuver on him.
Crazy. It was wrong tag from Flock. AI got it wrong. Again, I'm getting dozens of these videos now from customers and listeners from all over the country. They're sending me videos from different social media posts where cops are pulling people over, harassing them, detaining them, handcuffing them because Flock deemed it so. And then the cops at the end of the video, they go, well, it was a mistake with AI. You know, these things have problems sometimes. Well, why don't you actually do some research? I'm being real nice right now because I got a lot of friends that are law enforcement. A lot of them won't do this crap these guys are doing. When you get these stupid pings all the time in Flocks, I saw this personally firsthand a few months ago. An officer I was talking to, looking in his vehicle, he's showing me on his thing. And it's like vicinity, within a 2-mile vicinity, he's getting constant rollovers of tags and cars with the people's legend that are in it. Expired tag, expired license. Every single car, every description about the car, and every intersection of Flock camera in is recorded multiple times at multiple angles. It's run through an AI database, and then Flock deems it so if they find anything about that tag, about that title, about that basically information on the car, or the registered driver of the car, immediately sends it to law enforcement in the area. This is how crazy Flock is. This is why people are going nuts about it, and all the other programs that are out there. Well, the problem with it is AI is never 100% accurate. Will never be, can never be, will never happen. At the most, it'll be 99, probably percent, 98.999. There'll never be 100% rate on AI. And so what's happened is now they're throwing out these constant false positives. The officers aren't bothering to do due diligence, and they're immediately seeing, car stolen. Let's get him. Rack up the M4. If they were just shoot him in the face. Well, it's the wrong tag, buddy. AI got it wrong again with Flock. Again. So here's a video I'm going to show you guys right now. And the guy... white guy, his girlfriend's, or guy, the guy's black, his girlfriend's white, and they actually handled this very well because I can't even say I would have been this calm when this happening. I would have been pretty doggone pissed. My vehicle stolen, it's in my name. You pulling me over, and I know it's not stolen. Here's the video. I'm going to let you guys watch this. Expired tags. Oh, that's me. There we go.
Hi, how old are they?
Never get out of the car.
Well, they ordered him out.
Oh, they did.
They ordered him out of the car, yeah.
Is your plate stolen?
You said it's who?
It's coming back stolen. Your license plate. You got your ID on your phone?
Yeah, I got my
wallet. Where's your wallet at?
My bag.
Okay.
It's not my vehicle, though.
Whose vehicle is it?
My vehicle.
Okay.
They're not supposed to go through your wallet, by the way.
Just right now, you're just going to be paying that, okay?
Remember, this guy did nothing wrong.
Are they handcuffing him?
Oh, yeah. They initiated a traffic stop based solely on the flock. Hey, this guy's got his gun drawn.
Oh, he's carrying it like a gangster. Look at this. This black guy's being really cool.
Can I ask what's going on?
Yeah, I'll let you know. There's one thing. You can turn your
28. Handcuff her too.
I know you got a small baby. 214.
Same with a baby in the car.
The car was showing up as stolen, so we're just confirming.
Oh, shit. No, this is my car.
Yeah, it might be a mix-up in the system, so if it is, then y'all be good to go.
No, this is my car. I just had it stored because it's been wrecked. I had to get new tires and stuff on it. The snow. Put up.
Okay. Hopefully, if that's the case, he's just going to confirm.
Oh my God.
I just heard over the radio, and he was out there, and so.
Actually, sure was like, he cut his lights on. I said, who cut his lights on? I didn't even know there was a police behind us.
I was en route, and they said it was stolen out of Little Rock, so.
Your license good, boss? Is your license good?
Like I said, he's going to do his due diligence.
I got my registration and stuff
okay.
in there if you want.
Is it in license. The glove box?
It's actually in my purse.
Okay, you mind if I go ahead?
Just like that idiot cop who pulled me for doing nothing in my car.
Nothing. 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 Charged with nothing.
Can you see that tag in front of you? APX55X? So APX55Y is the one stolen. So it's not yours. You flagged one of our cameras, and so that's why we stopped you, because we thought it was the other place. So give me one second. I'll get you out of cuffs. Okay, bye. Is it your car? Okay. So, your car flagged on some of our modern technology.
And saying, about it or?
No, okay. Your plate is not stolen. It's okay. One letter off.
Okay.
And the camera wrote.
That gave me a heart attack.
Yeah, sorry about that. So it's the first five are correct. The last digit's the only one that's off.
You know the thing, and this like what we were talking about, not spraying your tag with Rust-Oleum. Let me tell you why. If your flock, if that flock's reading that camera, and that's got, they can't read the tag, they're going to go to the next flock, the next flock, the next flock, the next flock until they get a police officer behind you, find out what's wrong with your tag. That could easily happen here.
This is nuts. This is getting so insane from a totalitarian standpoint that we're just initiating traffic stops now, guys. Now here's the thing that would happen. What happened if they would have had a firearm in the car in a state that maybe you're supposed to register
or
one?
If they had a pot.
Or had a joint on them. Now all of a sudden, oh, well, your car's not stolen. Everything's legit, but you're in possession of cannabis. Now everybody's going to jail and the child's going to DHS, DFS.
That fast.
CPS. How quick is this going to start escalating into other types of arrests for minor nuances that are going on now? It's almost to me, not making any claims, it's almost to me like flock systems are being geared to have false positives in order to start doing searches and seizures of everybody's vehicle.
Well, it massively increases the amount of revenue going into the prison industrial complex, Austin, with the doggone people that are on probation.
Asset forfeiture.
Yep.
Remember how many times now have you heard, and this has been very common, somebody gets pulled over, they have $15,000 in cash on them, they're going to go buy a boat or a motorcycle, suddenly law enforcement deems it so that you can't prove where the money's from, even though you've been saving it under your mattress for the last 2 years. They say, we're seizing the money because your car smells like marijuana, which, by the way, has happened in the state of Florida. Now they take your money. Now you have to get an attorney to go to court to prove the money is yours that you saved in order to get it back, or they keep it.
The attorney fees are more than the money.
That's going on. That's going on for years now. This flock camera, this takes it to another level, in my opinion, to start increasing this kind of stuff. This is nuts.
The last year, I'm going to church one Sunday morning, and I'm going around S Corner, and I run into a local Lake Alfred Police Department guy. And I'm going down the hill. He's going down the hill the other direction. We pass each other. I'm on a double yellow line. Some guy's doing 15 miles an hour in front of me. I wait for the double yellow line. I'm down in his hole. He's down in the hole. He can't even see me. And all of a sudden, I passed the guy when there wasn't a WO line. I look in the mirror, and I got a police officer, the lights, the sirens going behind me. And I'm like, what the heck is this all about? And I thought, this can't be me. I'm doing 35 miles an hour. And he stays behind me. So finally, I pulled over to Windsor Court over there on the road. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to church. And he goes, you passed on the WO line. I said, You couldn't even see me. I would never do that. I just saw you. I waited until it turned. Well, on the third telephone pole, it turns. It's still double yellow, and that's when you pass. I said, so you're watching me in the mirror.
Your rear view mirror.
And you, number one, you can't even see my car because I'm sitting down, 40 inches off the ground, and you're telling me that you see me do this? I said, complete nonsense. I said, why are you harassing me? And he goes, well, I need your license. So I give him my license. He comes back, well, you don't have any warrants. And I'm like, well, duh, how about that? I'm trying to go to church. And he goes, well, I'm gonna let you go this time. I said, let me go for what? What's wrong with you?
It's like this whole thing. And here's the thing. And I hope this happens. Because I talked to an attorney about this the other day. There should be legal ramification if you were stopped, detained, and harassed unlawfully for doing nothing because the Flock camera deemed it so. You should be able to file a civil case against Flock.
Well, what they should have done is run that tag twice to make sure it was okay before they start putting handcuffs on
the cops that do due diligence.
No. And the crazy part about it, the next day I went in and complained about this officer. And I talked to the head girl there. And she was supposed to report it to her captain. I found out a couple months later. She never even reported the incident.
But this should be justifiable cause for a lawsuit against Flock for unreasonable search and seizure.
Wrongful detainment.
And wrongful detainment, absolutely. Because you're talking about a couple that did nothing wrong, broke no laws, and were stopped due to an error in Flock and an error with law enforcement. At what point is accountability reached with this? At what point do we stop saying, well, it's just an error and it's something that's continually occurring? Because this is not the first video I've gotten on this topic. This is probably like the 10th or 11th that I've gotten now. I'm all across the country, people send me these videos. And so I encourage you guys, if something like this occurs, look at legal counsel. Get a free, basically, meeting with an attorney and ask them if something like this happens. Because the only way this is going to stop is more, unfortunately, it's what it is.
We push
more and more lawsuits. Oh. The same thing has happened now in Lake Alfred with the speed cameras. There's now, apparently, for I talked to the other day, they're already talking about having multiple lawsuits against Lake Alfred now for those tickets.
Well, they need to. Oh, by the way, the other day, Trump hopped in a catering truck and got off Air Force One and disappeared. And so he went to fly out on Air Force One out of Turkey. And he left pretty much the entire press corps that he probably hated on Air Force One in case it was going to get shot down. They would basically get killed, I guess. He wasn't even giving them a heads up, but he wasn't on the plane any longer. But he took his blonde aide with him, made sure he kept her with him. Apparently, Natalie Harp really loves Trump. She stated she loves him. Now, whether she's in love with him or just loves him, I don't know. But President Donald Trump's aide, Natalie Harp, and several others reportedly accompanied the president when he secretly switched planes after the NATO summit in Turkey. Trump's aide, Natalie Harp, and several others reported to left with Trump on another aircraft. President Donald Trump made sure that Natalie Harp, his personal aide, was securely by his side after he sneaked off Air Force One to travel on a different aircraft. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have done the same thing. Pick the people that I like to get off the plane to make you shot down. But the people, this is awful. I mean, now, this is horrible. But the reality is, he kind of should have given the people on Air Force One a heads up.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it. He let them all fly on Air Force One.
Now, Air Force One that has multiple F-22 intercepts to fly with them. Up there, the 22s, the 18s.
Here's the thing. I'm a pilot. Okay? It's easy to take a plane down if you take out some of the operating systems with a basically a bomb on the air. I'm not suggesting anybody ever do this, with an altimeter bomb in it. A little tiny set of charge of C4 on one of my primary operating systems, like landing gear. It's really important.
Like landing gear.
Landing gear won't come down. Well, now we're going to do a belly flop on a 747. That's going to be fun.
Over water.
over water would be probably better than on concrete.
Yeah, that's true.
Or over the woods. Or how about we just shut the fuel off to the engines?
It's horrible.
How about we just do that? And I would never advocate anybody do something like that. It's horrible. But the point is, remember Lockerbie, Scotland. But Trump picks the blonde aide with over other cabinet members to hide with him during an AF-1 switch. And now he's saying that the Secret Service, they were wrong, blah, 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 because he's gotten so much blowback from this. But I got a kick out of the fact he picked his blonde aide over all these press agents.
I'm on YouTube right now. Somebody said a comment. They said that YouTube is deleting comments. I don't know anything about that. Is it possible and plausible? Yeah, it probably is with these guys.
That means they're watching us now.
Yeah, obviously what you say on there, they're monitoring on YouTube. They're censoring it. Be aware of that. And so
welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club. We do this all the time. And then I forgot. I had the article. I've got so many articles I'm going in here. I forgot to get to my topic today, and I'm going to cover it right now for you guys. The 10 things to avoid if you're determined to lose weight.
Let's cover it. Got 4 minutes.
I've cooked the clock down if I covered that fast. If not, I'll just roll into tomorrow.
We promised them today. Let's do it.
I promised I'd start it today.
I'll be quiet.
So, 10 things to avoid if you're determined to lose weight. It says fat loss is rarely ruined by one big mistake. And that is an absolute fact. I have said this so many times. You didn't gain 40 or 50 pounds because you went and had that Five Guys burger that one time that month.
Doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen like that. It's continual, small, incremental, over-calorie, over-calorie, over-calorie. And here's some stuff of this that I really like in this article that goes into detail. The first one it says on here says, as a clinician nutritionist, I spent years watching clients chase weight loss by planning the perfect diet, while tiny, almost unconscious habits quietly undo their progress. Fat loss is rarely ruined by one big mistake. It's worn down by struggle-driven mindset that creates damaging habits, trying to earn treats, skipping real meals, and ignoring basics such as sleep. We're talking about eating weight loss like we're in a war, battle cravings, fighting temptation, calling yourself cheat meals when you slip, insisting we have to be good to keep the pounds off. The warlike mindset doesn't just color our thoughts, it drives our behavior. What if food was never meant to be a battlefield? I've explained this to people before. The way I eat is just, it's a lifestyle. It's just what I do. I don't think anything about it. There is no conflict resolution or war with food with me. I just do it. I eat to obtain calories for energy and muscle repair. That is it. That's pretty much 90% of the sole purpose of why I eat. Now, do I occasionally like a Five Guys burger once a month? I'll take my son out after we're doing something or training or shooting or doing it. Absolutely. But it's such a rare thing, it has no effect on me. Is for the most part, especially if you do GHI cleanse, you make sure you keep your body cleaned out. The issue is people, and exactly what I said, people look at it like you're at a war with food. Now, ultra-processed foods, high fructose corn syrup, they're pretty much wartime concepts.
You got to get through this 10, buddy.
I don't get it. So I'm digressing on here. I'll go. Okay, first one here, drinking sugary drinks and alcohol regularly.
Correct. Next.
Done. The first thing, I got to make sure I cover this. A 2026 review examining the connection between total sugars, both added and those naturally found in food and type 2 diabetes, found that sugar-sweetened beverages were consistently linked with higher diabetes risk every single time. In context of weight loss, these drinks make it harder, appetite harder to regulate and easier to add extra calories without noticing. Switch to unsweetened beverages during the day if you need something like stimulant. Have something like the purple stick. It's got 5 calories in it per scoop. That's not going to add up very much at all. It says if you need flavor, add some magnesium brain food or add basically some of the total rest or vitamin C that we have to drink. Habit number 2, not eating enough protein at meals and fiber at meals. This is huge. Protein's needed for muscle recovery. Protein is needed to also slow down the processing of carbohydrates and the sugar. Meals with more protein and fiber typically more filling helps stabilize blood sugar and satisfy hunger. Skipping protein and fiber at breakfast or lunch often leads to faster hunger turn and stronger cravings later. One thing I want to add into that, also healthy fats. It says make protein a non-negotiable breakfast. Eggs, grass-fed beef, Greek yogurt, chicken, well-chosen protein powder, like the Fit Food protein. Even a modest 20 to 30 grams of protein plus fiber at one main meal can shift your appetite in a favorable direction. One of the first changes I suggest is patients basically use this as a first staple. This is huge in the morning. Fit Food shake. Pretty much run every morning. I had 2 eggs earlier, so that's all I had left. I got to get more eggs as far as with this shake. But I don't eat carbohydrates in the morning. Ever. I don't need them. Your body doesn't need carbohydrates in the morning. It needs fat and needs protein, a lot of protein primarily, especially if you're a male. That gets your body in a fat burning mode in the morning, metabolism mode in the morning, and recovery mode from a fast all night long. Now, I'm only on habit number 2. I'm going to have to transition this till tomorrow. We'll get into it. I have no time. I ran the clock down. My apologies. Guys, listen, I'm not perfect. Please forgive me if I've done anything to offend you today with this. I'll be back on the show tomorrow. We'll finish these on here.
Who taught you how to apologize like that?
Well, no, my favorite one is that.
That was yeah.
Please forgive me if my actions did ever so offend you in any way.
Or I regret my slight transgression, however so deserved.
So I'm going to cover more of this tomorrow. I don't want to rush it. I can rush through this the next 30 seconds, but it's useless. I want to really cover this stuff and my tips that I'm adding on to it. And guys, we do this show for you every day. Thank you for the support of Health Masters. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Cortisol Buster on sale. Lots of other products on here on the multi-pack protocol kits on sale right now. Check them out at healthmasters.com. Y'all have a blessed, safe, awesome evening. As always, stay strong and healthy. And we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow as always.
And thank you for your support. Without you, we couldn't be here.
Absolutely.
And keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. For he is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. I love you so much, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you again.